Hi, this is Ife Sinachi. Thank you so much for the opportunity to read from my book, The Domestication of Inachi. I'll be reading from page 125. And here, just before I start reading, so I'll just set the stage. Here, our eccentric auntie, Chimwanya, accosts her niece, Munachi. Here we go. You decide to meet a married lover on a Sunday night. Tell me it is not trouble you are looking for. By the way, were you at church today? Eh? Munachi shook her head. Her face had almost disappeared into her shirt. My dear, let me tell you something you don't know. It is the same God that will bless your hustle, if you don't know. I am not against having a lover who helps you take care of your needs. But despising God, lie, lie. Auntie Chimwanya passed a hand over her head and snapped her fingers into the air. You can insult man and walk away from it, bam. But you don't insult God and expect him to bless you. He cannot be deceived, don't you know? Munachi's eyebrows shot up and Chimwanya could see that she was even more confused, but she had to teach the right thing before the girl lost her ways totally. You see that cross beside my photograph? She pointed. It is a reminder that I would never have got to where I am without my God. Munachi, while you are living this life and enjoying yourself, just remember that at the week's end, you must go to church and thank him for what you have, because you don't know that people are looking for this kind of blessing but have not found. Do you hear me? Yes, ma, she whispered. Run away from here and don't ever let me hear that you skip church again to pursue a man. She waved her off and watched her hips sway from side to side until she disappeared down the hallway. Chimwanya picked up a glass of wine from the side table where it had been since her friends arrived and took a sip. The young girl had so much to learn about life, and she was afraid that she would never be able to teach her everything before she had to go back to Eliza's house and the silence would fill her home once again. She remembered the last time she and Eliza had a sisterly conversation. It was almost 20-something years ago, shortly before the darkest period of her life descended and she had learned her lessons the hard way. It was just after her whirlwind romance with Daniel, a businessman who traveled from Port Harcourt for a Lagos-based contract. Daniel had proposed to her after their fifth date. Before him, there had been other men, but with him, the young Chimwanya had felt different. She had met him a virgin, and though her mother and sister had thought otherwise, Chimwanya had been determined to keep herself for the man who would be her husband. Daniel's proposal had been the icing on the cake that she had been waiting for. He was the only one whose proposal thrilled her to the insides of her belly. The two had started planning a wedding, and giddy with excitement, she had asked him to accompany her to Accra to visit her sister, who was her only female relative left. Daniel had claimed he was tied up with business and that she could go on without him. He had also asked her if he could move into her house for the time she was away, as he wanted her to accompany him back to Port Harcourt after the wedding. The young Chimwanya had seen nothing wrong with it. So he had moved into her then small apartment in a busy neighborhood in Okoko, where the world came alive as early as 5 a.m., just outside her window. And she had traveled to Accra, expecting her world to turn rosy after the wedding she had already begun planning in her head. But that was not before she had given her body for the first time to the man who would become her husband when she returned. Her sister had welcomed the soon-to-wed Chimwanya with praise singing and dancing. Adanna and Munachi, still much younger, had climbed onto her knees. She would later forge a stronger bond with the younger child who seemed to be a reflection of herself. Eliza had asked her about the marriage plans, insisting that it had to take place in Accra. Chimwanya agreed. A week later, she left for Lagos, drunk with joy and a young love that put stars in her eyes and a longing to be in the arms of the only man she had ever loved. But she got home to an empty house and an empty jewelry box. Daniel had run off with her gold, worth almost all her life savings. At first, disbelief had clouded her thinking so much so that she went into town to confirm the address of the friend he mentioned he had been staying with. The address led her to an incomplete building which had been abandoned for several years. The neighbors were clueless whom she was talking about. By the time she got home, realization dawned like a frog, gradually disappearing into sinking sand. She had been duped by someone she had claimed as one of her own. It was what hurt her most. He had not only lied to her, he had betrayed someone he had claimed to love and had taken her womanly pride with her. Chimwanya had sent a letter to Eliza explaining that there would be no wedding. Shame had not allowed her explain why. Her details had been sketchy. After that, Eliza slipped into her mute mode once again, claiming that it was her fault her fiancé was no longer interested in the wedding. At the end, Chimwanya allowed her think what she wanted, but she had learnt her lesson. It was easier to trust a man you are not in love with than a man with whom you share your soul. Thank you again for this opportunity. I do hope you go out there and get the book, The Domestication of Munachi. This is the author, Ifeasinachi Okoli Okpago. Thank you.